turn on my thing. There's that.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. This is the afternoon session, February 1st, 2023 of the Portland City Council. Please call the roll.
Rubio?
Here.
Ryan?
Here.
Gonzalez?
Here.
Maps?
Here.
Wheeler?
Here. I want to thank my colleagues for their forbearance. I was serving on jury duty for the last 2.5 days. Just as a heads up, I am the alternate on a panel. I was excused while the panel convenes for deliberations. There is a chance, probably a very, very small chance, that should one of the jurors become sick or disabled, I could be called back, but I do not anticipate that to be the case. So I will preside this afternoon. We'll now hear from legal counsel on the rules of order and decorum.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Portland City Council. City Council is holding hybrid public meetings with in-person attendance in addition to electronic attendance. If you wish to testify before council in person or virtually, you must sign up in advance by visiting the council agenda on the council clerk's webpage at www.portland.gov/council/agenda. You may sign up for communications to briefly speak about any subject. You may also sign up for public testimony on resolutions, reports, or first readings of ordinances. Written testimony may be submitted at cctestimony@portlandoregon.gov. Your testimony should address the matter being considered at the time. When testifying, please state your name for the record. Your address is not necessary. Please disclose if you're a lobbyist. If you're representing an organization, please identify it. For testifiers joining virtually, please unmute yourself once the council clerk calls your name. The presiding officer preserves order and decorum during city council meetings so everyone can feel welcome, comfortable, respected, and safe. The presiding officer determines the length of testimony. Individuals generally have 3 minutes to testify unless otherwise stated. A timer will indicate when your time is done. Disruptive conduct, such as shouting, refusing to conclude your testimony when your time is up, or interrupting others' testimony or council deliberations will not be allowed. If there are disruptions, a warning will be given that further disruption may result in the person being ejected for the remainder of the meeting. After being ejected, a person who fails to leave the meeting is subject to arrest for trespass. Additionally, council may take a short recess and reconvene virtually.
Thank you. First up is item number 106, a resolution.
Establish a citywide surveillance technology inventory and procedures on privacy, use, and acquisition of surveillance technology.
Commissioner Rubio,
thank you. Thank you, Mayor, and colleagues, and everyone joining us for this public hearing on the surveillance technologies policy. I would like to start off to thank by thanking the tremendous efforts of the Smart Cities PDX team at the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability and the Office of Equity and Human Rights, and the numerous dedicated community members who've been working together on this project for a number of years and who also brought us here today. I'd also like to give a big appreciation to all of those who engaged in the extensive public participation process that directly informed this work. This resolution is a step forward for the modernization of the city's digital infrastructure and technology policy and identifying potential impacts on the community we serve. Before we get started, I would first like to introduce an amendment to better clarify the intended citywide scope and acknowledge the broader research informing of this resolution, namely a citywide, something we realized we needed more clarification after we had already filed. So I appreciate the Smart Cities team for working quickly with us to ensure that we better capture this. It's important that we recognize that this process is reflective of the entire city and all its bureaus and the need to take inventory of the technology they use and provide a trusted system to assess the potential impacts. Therefore, I propose to amend paragraph 3 to read as follows. Whereas over the years, various city entities have researched and discussed the benefits, risks, and potential harms related to data collection and surveillance technologies, including city audits, internal assessments, and looking externally at other municipalities. From those efforts, recommendations for a citywide approach to surveillance have included, but are not limited to, the following. 1, create procedures that limit access to sensitive information. 2, adopt a directive that includes council authorization of surveillance technology by any city bureau and advice from a privacy commission. And 3, require periodic public reports on city bureau uses of surveillance. So I move that we adopt the proposed amendment.
Commissioner Rubio moves.
Second.
We have a second from Commissioner Ryan. Commissioner Rubio, would you like to keep that open during testimony, or would you request we call the roll now?
Maybe call the roll now, and then we can just move into the whole.
Rubio?
Aye.
Ryan?
Aye.
Gonzalez?
Aye.
Maps?
Aye.
Wheeler?
Aye. The amendment's adopted.
Thank you, colleagues. This policy allows city leadership and staff to identify technology risks and impacts and pathways to mitigate them. This is not about banning technology. It's about ensuring we use technology responsibly, ethically, and legally, and in a manner that protects us. I want to be clear that these issues goes well beyond, again, any one or two bureaus. It's really addressed all the surveillance technology in every bureau, so we have a consistency of approach and that all parts of our city bear responsibility to assess these impacts. So next, I would like to introduce Director Olivera, who will share a few remarks about this resolution.
Thank you, Commissioner Rubio. Good afternoon, Council. My name is Don Olivera, Director of Bureau of Planning and Sustainability, for the record. One of the things that I've always appreciated coming before you is your clear commitment to data-driven decisions. You've been crystal clear about your commitment to ensuring that we have the best available data to deal with the complex challenges our city's facing. And this policy is another tool in that toolkit, because the responsible use of information is an essential component to the modern organizations that we all run, including and especially government as civil servants. As technology evolves, we face new challenges, and those challenges require new ways of doing business, and our enterprises evolve. But that means the systems that we need to manage those solutions need creative and important checks and balances for credibility. Thanks to the effort of the Smart City PDX team, our city is ahead of many other cities in terms of preparing for the use of emergent technologies and increasing amounts of data. We want our decisions to be informed. We want those decisions to be informed by the best data, but in turn, we want to ensure that the data collected is done so with the highest level of accountability and trust and security. Our ability to deal with the complex issues of our time will be strengthened by the policy before you today. Make no mistake, this is the beginning of a process, but this is the first step ensuring that this data that we're using and we want to access more of will be done in a trusted manner. Throughout the development of this policy, our team has been working with the community, testing strategies, getting best practices from other cities around the country, and refining the procedures so that it'll allow us to be more effective in implementation. And since our last time that we met in September about this issue, I've worked with my team to ensure that we have the resources in place to ensure that we can implement this policy on the outset. And as the policy continues to flourish and grow, I'm sure we'll be working with our bureau partners around the city to expand that capacity. Last but not least, we haven't done this alone. As Commissioner Ruby mentioned, we've had incredible partners throughout the city, but especially I want to acknowledge and thank the leadership out of the Office of Equity and Human Rights. They've been a vital partner in helping us keep calibrated to ensure that our communities are acknowledged front and center. And with that, I'd like to introduce Lisa Watson, the Director of the Office of Equity and Human Rights.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thank you, Director Olivera, and good afternoon, Council and Mayors. I'm Lisa Watson. For the record, I'm the Director of the Office of Equity and Human Rights, and the Office of Equity and Human Rights works citywide to support the development of programs, policies, and practices that are designed to serve all Portlanders well. We've partnered with the Smart City PDX team for the last 4 years, first introducing privacy principles and building on those principles in multiple ways. Understanding how different communities have been and continue to be impacted by government is critical to assuring that the city makes resources and opportunities available to everyone. The uses and misuses of surveillance as a tool to control communities of color, immigrant communities, and others has been well documented. Some emerging technologies offer wonderful and helpful tools to enhance the quality of life for all Portlanders. There are other uses of technology, as we all know, that can have deeply harmful impacts as well. We live in a time when the unintended consequences of things like social media and other technology are being realized on a regular basis, often after unacceptable harm has already occurred. The policy we have before you today is part of the city conducting its due diligence to know what technology is being used and the potential impacts to privacy and civil liberties for all of us. Thank you for your time. And I'd like to introduce next the Smart Cities team for their presentation. Thank you.
Good afternoon, Mayor, Commissioners. Good afternoon. My name is Hector Dominguez. I am part of the Smart Cities team at the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability.
My name is Judith Mowry, and I work for the Office of Equity and Human Rights and have been working extensively with the Smart Cities team for the last 4 years.
Well, if you allow us, let me start a brief presentation about the history of the development of this policy, how we got here, what is this policy about, and then we are going to have some conversation about it. So with that, let me see. Yes. Perfect. We should be able to share. All right. I see that the screen. Well, what is this policy about? This policy is really a recognition by the City of Portland that technology, in modern technology, really brings both great benefit to our city, our residents, but also can create some harm. And without understanding both, we would be just going blind and using technology in a way that harm may not be addressed in any way. So this policy really directs our Smart Cities program and the Office of Equity and Human Rights to start implementing baseline infrastructure for the more responsible use, particularly on surveillance technologies. Back in 2019, we brought our privacy principles. This was an effort in collaboration with our Portland community, Portland residents, from the very beginning, a partnership with our Office of Equity and Human Rights. It compiles 7 different privacy principles, and this list has been recognized by other cities as something that we are pushing the envelope in terms of protecting our residents around technology and information. We need to remember that privacy is a human right. As a human right, is in this modern technology, so we are exposed our daily lives because everything is digitalized right now. We are constantly exposed to different agents. And what we're trying to do here is really to bring a little bit more, create safeguards, create more awareness in our community about those impacts. Privacy is an evolving right as well. When we're talking about the smart cities, we may be having in our minds this idea of autonomous vehicles, artificial intelligence, automatic systems that are deciding where things move within the city, how resources move within the city. However, many people perceive that as, are we collecting people's information in a way that nobody is really aware of what's happening with that? Are we using that information for other purposes to those, different to those that we are like saying? The reality is really something completely different, and we really, with this policy, we really try to create a way of more transparency, inform our residents. What are surveillance technologies, examples of surveillance technologies that can include automatic license plate readers, of course, body-worn cameras, security, and CCTV cameras, can include geolocation systems, smart payments, smart systems, Bluetooth sensors, of course, facial recognition, red light cameras, drones, digital kiosks in public spaces, social network monitoring, just as a way to name a few of those.
So what was the problem we were trying to solve? As Hector has said, it was the better use of data and technology so that we could meet our priorities and use the best technology to do that, that to recognize that these evolve very quickly, as we know. They're just, you turn around and there's something new that is in front of you. And as we've said as well, it can create significant harm if we are not paying attention to what's going on and evaluating potential harm and benefits as we move forward with it. We know that Black, Indigenous, and people of color have been more negatively impacted by surveillance technologies historically, and there's a limited trust in public trust and how the city uses technology, so that can constrain us using it for positive impacts. So one of the purposes that we really hold out for this is that we build more trust through our transparency with the community. How we got here, it's been a bit of a journey. As some of you know, we've had two work sessions. We did more than a year of public engagement. We worked with so many different people and had so many different public events, and we had a big process of having the community help us look at how to write the policy, what to think about in the policy. And we've had the support from the internal citywide privacy group from the beginning, and they've been very helpful in helping us think this through as well. As you can see on the next slide, we're really lucky to have for our engagement, there we go, a bunch of really wonderful partners. We had a group called the Community Leads that worked with us on the participatory policy making, and we are very grateful to Johanna Molina, Surya Raj Jassy, Rosalie Lee, and Nisha Cochran-Dumas, and Alicia Mikasa, who worked with us on the Community Leads programs, and Sachi Arakawa and Irene Kim from Cascadia Partners were very central in getting us through the project. The inclusion of the voices of those most impacted historically is a critical part of equitable and inclusive policy development. Working with the Community Leads, we engage with first-generation immigrants, people who are in recovery, re-entering community from the criminal justice system, and people experiencing houselessness. We also held a Spanish language outreach meeting as well. Overall, we interacted with more than 400 stakeholders.
Okay. Yes, next. So focus now back to the policy. Basically, this policy has two main directives. The first one is that we are going to create a citywide inventory of all the surveillance technologies that we own, or the bureaus. And we are going to be back to you March 2024 with that inventory, that list. The second main directive is that we want to understand exactly what are the impacts, the risk, and also the benefits of surveillance technology. So we are going to put together these assessments as part of the procurement process. So that's what it's included in this policy. The policy applies to all bureaus. It's not specific to any particular one. It really builds capacity and infrastructure to use data and technology in better ways. It drives towards public technology and in a more transparent, and creates public trust on how we are using technology, in particularly in public spaces. And so we are also, how are we are going to implement this policy? We are really utilizing existing resources, capacity, and relying on previous policies. So it's not going to create any burden to any bureaus. The Bureau of Planning and Sustainability is actually finding those resources internally to fund all that. What this policy is not. So because previously the City of Portland has banned the use of face recognition due to all the issues that the technology still has around bias, particularly against people with dark skin color, elderly people. So this policy is not going to ban any technology. We think also that banning technology is a very blunt measure, that we really need to go deeper into what are the benefits, what are the risks, deal with the risks, and use and optimize all the benefits in better ways. Again, the impact in bureaus is not there. So we are also working towards a more solid digital infrastructure in general with this policy. It's going to direct us even more to explore more public, with more public engagement on how the oversight in general of the technology could look like. This additional public involvement is also going to explore, create more literacy, create more networks across different groups and existing groups as well, new and existing groups. Finally, so we are building with this policy a better digital city here in Portland. So we are also looking into assessing, starting to assess automated decision systems, aka algorithms, like including artificial intelligence, including some other filtering algorithms, for instance, that are deciding everybody's lives right now. So again, we are optimizing resources with this. Basically, we are going to be using same templates, same procedures that we are developing those with the surveillance technologies. We are also aligning with other cities, particularly on the West Coast, that are also doing very similar efforts as well. With this, our presentation ends, and we have a space for discussion and conversations. This is my contact.
Very good. Colleagues, any discussion at this particular juncture? I had just a basic question. So you mentioned that surveillance is for specific groups or individuals. Could you clarify that a little bit? Because I think the concern people have is that surveillance could be broader than that.
Yeah, I think what we meant to say was that there are specific groups that have had additional, have been policed more heavily, have been surveilled more heavily historically. And those include, you know, Black, Indigenous, communities of color, immigrant populations. And so that's what the reference to certain communities was about. So okay. We're not saying that there's an intent specifically, but just as a byproduct of the surveillance and the ways it's been used.
There's nothing about the technical definition of surveillance that's germane to this resolution.
No.
Is that correct?
Yeah,
that's correct.
Okay, good. That's helpful for me. Good. We have public testimony. We have a number of people.
We actually have inviting three invited.
You start
testimony.
With that. I'll exactly. go ahead and let okay. you manage that. Thanks.
Thank you. And let me introduce Christopher Pedrin first, who is our chief information security officer. Please, Christopher.
Welcome.
Thank you. My name is Christopher Pedrin with the City of Portland. Good afternoon, Mr. Mayor. Good afternoon, honorable commissioners. I have the honor to serve the communities of Portland and the city as your information security officer. I'm here to add my voice and strong support to encourage your approval of the surveillance and privacy policy. As the city's information cybersecurity custodian, I share responsibilities for maturing the city's technology and privacy policies. This policy and the program that sustains its application, they're important and necessary steps in preserving and enhancing the trust of our communities for the city to use technology wisely. I am proud of the data governance and the privacy work groups, our cross-bureau partnerships, the support of our leadership team, and for this policy of purpose to leverage technology to enhance the security and privacy of our community's information and privacy rights. Our city team have gathered the best policy elements of peer cities, melded them with our own vision of good governance, and engaged our communities extensively to craft this policy with transparency and purpose. And I hope you too can fully support this policy. Thank you for your attention and service.
Thank you.
Thank you, Christopher. And now let me introduce Wilfred Pinfold, who is the Chief Executive Officer at Urban Systems. He is also a member of the city's Technology Oversight Committee.
Thanks, Hector. I appreciate it. I'd also I commend the commission for this proposal. I think it's an excellent piece of work and leading in setting a pathway for smart city work. In addition to Hector's introduction, I also have a nonprofit organization which works very closely with the National Institute of Standards on defining processes for technology deployment that benefits communities. And I commend the fact that this is community focused and work has been done here directly to ensure that the technologies that are being deployed benefit communities. I could also support the openness, the accessibility, and the benefits focus of this work. But I want to focus on one point particularly. Both technology and perceptions of privacy and security are moving targets. And so this idea that we regularly review the technologies that we're deploying, not just the ones that we're about to deploy, but the ones that we have deployed, and ensure that they continue to bring value to the communities that they serve, I think is crucially important. This should be seen as the beginning of a process, an ongoing process, which brings these highly valuable technologies to bear to improve the conditions of our communities, at the same time as they focus on ensuring that the communities see value in the technologies that are being deployed as we move forward. So once again, let me lend my support to approval of this this proposal.
Thank you, Wilfred. And next, we have Joanna Molina. Is she there? Joanna Molina, she is a founder of Guerreras Latinas, which is a nonprofit organization dedicated to the empowering of women through information and education. She was part of our community leads, the Smart City PDX community leads cohort in 2022. Joanna.
Thank you, Hector. First of all, I want to express my gratitude for allowing me to be here. It feels good to be seen. It feels good to be here. It feels great to be considered. I want to tell you that 3 minutes or even 3 hours will not enough time to talk about the negative impact of technology. The disproportionate data collection that is not transparent or fair, and that only serves and is created for the benefit of few in my community. It's no secret that for decades, prison data brokers, tech companies, bill collection companies, and even local residents have shared and continue to share the data of members of my community with ICE. As I said in the beginning, I want to talk about the impact in my community. On the date of my birthday, June 12, 2007, there was a tremendous commotion in the apartment complex where several families of mine were living at that time. 3 children went out into the garden crying because they had received the news that their mother, who was a single mother, by the way, had been arrested by ICE. Later at the adjoining apartment, two youth women came and take the children because they were minors. Their parents were also arrested in that raid. My aunt's apartment was next. Luckily, my aunt escaped the raid because her car broke down and she never get to work. This happened at the Fresh Del Monte company. That day was recorded in every cell of my body. What a birthday present, right? At least 60 members of my family were arrested, and many of them voted without the opportunity of a fair trial. But if you stay to fight, several of you citizens' children who knew no other country or language other than outside of the United States of America were forced to live in a place with people they did not know, and now with a dark future, just like their parents before coming to this country, were now at the mercy of poverty, violence, crime, and hunger. I want you to know that this happened and continues to happen to thousands of immigrants' families. That is why it is important to bring people like me to these spaces. People who have been excluded and attacked for generations, must be given the opportunity to decide for ourselves if we are willing to interact with technology. That is what is important, that you invite people like me to the table and ask us questions about how technology and what they do with our information impact our lives. The entities in charge of creating policies and implementing new technologies need to be transparent and inform the community of the results of the implementation of safe technologies. And it is also necessary to include the community to ensure that technology is really working and or if it is just an unnecessary expense. We need to be considered and allowed to participate in decision-making when looking for a solution and how to use the resources we need as a community members. We have a community full of fear. Thousands of families refuse to receive vital services in exchange for protecting their identities. They are afraid because they do not know how the information is used, nor the technology used to collect it. There are no public forums where the community can be informed of the implementation of the new technologies and their policies. A simple example, but one that exposed what I just mentioned, is the change from paper tickets to digital tickets, creating new barriers for a community that already has difficulties accessing sources and services to have a decent life. I really believe that digital justice is a human right, and transparency and the commitment to keep the community informed should be fundamental values of the entities that are in charge of implementing new technologies. But in order to make that happen, we need to intentionally work toward a culture of equity and inclusion. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Well, with this, it ends our presentation and our guest testimony section.
Very good, thank you, great presentation. Public testimony, how many folks do we have signed up?
Six individuals.
Great, 3 minutes each, name for the record.
First we have Sean Patrick.
Welcome, Sean.
Thank you.
Good afternoon to the council, my name is Sean Patrick. Before I begin, I think it's important that I say that I'm not necessarily anti-surveillance. I certainly understand that there are limited times when surveillance can be used to perform a needed and important role in our city. But I also think that those times need to be judiciously managed and carefully considered. They also need to take place out in the open, where all citizens and residents can see them. Right now, that isn't possible in Portland. It isn't possible because there is no legal structure in place to guide the use of surveillance at all. That's unacceptable. That's because there are real harms that can be perpetuated and enabled with surveillance technology and potentially automated decision-making systems too. Harms that affect traditionally marginalized communities the most. We need to know what technology and data systems are in use and how they are being used. We must also have any and all of the risks involved transparently revealed to us, including the risks to our constitutionally protected right to privacy. So while I'm not necessarily anti-surveillance, I am very much pro-accountability and I'm pro-transparency. And that's what this resolution is about. Transparency and accountability are not controversial. They are basic good governance. We as citizens and residents should have the right to know what surveillance systems are being used on us. We should have the right to know who the bureaus are sharing data with. We should have the right to know what Parking Kitty does with my dang phone number. And most importantly, we should have the right to know what is happening so that we can have an informed conversation with lawmakers on the subject of surveillance. And we can't do that right now, because there is not a transparent accounting of the surveillance and data management that is already taking place. And frankly, there's a lot of it. This resolution today is a plan, and we need one. We're behind, we have not had a plan so far, and so this resolution gives us the ability to start to build one. It's a place to start so that we can have meaningful conversations as residents and representatives about surveillance management laws that we will certainly need in the future. And that means we're going to need to fund it appropriately, Fund it like it matters, like it's a priority, including public staff and research. The reality is we can't know what the future holds. I remember a few years back when I would have laughed at you if you'd suggested that a president of the United States would be involved in the broad daylight kidnapping of legally protesting American civilians here in Portland. I don't laugh at that anymore. We don't know how these systems could be used in the future. We don't even know how they are being used today. Let's fix that. Please pass this bill. Affirm your commitment to transparency and accountability in public surveillance. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Appreciate your remarks.
Thank you.
Next, we have Aj Amachi.
Welcome, Aj.
Hello, my name is Ajay, and I'm testifying on behalf of myself, a Black resident of Portland for close to a decade, and also representing Black-led organization Freedom to Thrive. So I'm here to demand a strong and effective surveillance ordinance be adopted as soon as possible in the name of fighting racialized oppression and white supremacy. To truly understand this issue, we have to recognize how a rapidly expanding digital surveillance apparatus is situated within a history of racialized surveillance. Surveillance of Black and Brown communities is not simply a byproduct of the system, but a tool explicitly designed to facilitate the subjugation of Black and Brown people. Surveillance in the US owes its origins to the slave economy. Poet Malkia Cyril puts the point perfectly. From colonial times to now, surveillance technologies have been used to separate the citizen from the slave, to protect the citizen from the slave. The plantation itself, by one historian's account, was organized to enable masters and overseers to exercise surveillance and reinforce the subordinate status of enslaved people. Fast forward to today, and it's apparent to anyone who knows anything about many surveillance technologies that many have the explicit purpose of financial exploitation or financial extraction, or for providing a justification for stop and frisk activities, which are well known to infringe on the civil rights of minority groups. In Terry versus Ohio, the court wrote, citing findings from a presidential commission, that a stop and frisk activity was no petty indignation, but a severe though brief intrusion upon cherished personal security, an annoying, frightening, and perhaps humiliating experience. Without guiding principles, practices, and policies that govern or restrict their use, surveillance technologies supersize the potential for discriminatory policing, and they further erode due process protections under the law, while facilitating big profits for an unaccountable, growing for surveillance industry. At the same time, the few technological tools available to protect individuals' information, like encryption, are under constant attack. It's easy to make the claim that you're against racial oppression and that you support racial equity, but as the phrase goes, put up or shut up. You cannot be an ally to oppressed communities and write blank checks for surveillance technologies that harm them. It's just not possible. So you have to ask yourself, will you adopt the resolution prepared by Smart City PDX and the Office of Equity and Human Rights, or will you stand firm as an enemy to racial progress? Will you do the right thing, or will you do the easy thing? And you know, be on the right side of history for once and adopt a strong surveillance ordinance. The choice is yours. Choose wisely. Thank you.
Thank you, Ashley.
Jude Al-Ghazal Stone.
Jude, welcome.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Mayor and Commissioners. My name is Jude Al-Ghazal Stone, and I appreciate this opportunity to provide testimony on behalf of the American Civil Liberties Union of Oregon. In September 2020, cities across the country looked to Portland as our city council passed the strongest ban on facial recognition technology software in the US. And leading up to that unanimous vote from the city council, hundreds of community members voiced their concerns about facial recognition technology's consequences for civil liberties and civil rights. In that instance, our democracy worked exactly like it should. People asked their elected officials to act, and the representatives listened. And now we need to ensure that this strong democratic process becomes the rule, not the exception. And to do that, we need to start by passing this resolution brought by Commissioner Rubio and Smart City PDX to establish procedures and auditing processes for citywide surveillance technology. This resolution plays a critical role in developing greater trust and transparency between Portlanders and the city. When people have confidence that their government will make important decisions both democratically and publicly, civic engagement becomes more effective and meaningful. decisions about surveillance technology in particular require high levels of government transparency and community involvement due to the potential threat to Portlanders' civil rights and liberties. Surveillance technologies pose a myriad of risks, endangering people's privacy along with a litany of constitutional rights, including free speech, the right to assembly, and more. And as people have stated, historically disenfranchised groups like BIPOC and low-income communities suffer even greater consequences of citywide surveillance due to algorithmic biases. Mayor Wheeler summarized the importance of prohibiting bias technology well when he voted in favor of the facial recognition ban, saying that all Portlanders are entitled to a city government that will not use technology with demonstrated racial and gender biases that endanger personal privacy. And we agree wholeheartedly, and we ask the council to allow the people of Portland to engage with the city's decisions around mass surveillance technology by passing this resolution. The ever-developing nature of surveillance software means that we are constantly facing new challenges to our privacy. So including Portland's diverse populations and perspectives can help us make a more collaborative and informed decisions as a city. It's imperative that Portland's communities are included in and privy to decisions that our city makes regarding technology that can have such significant impacts on our civil rights and liberties. And with this resolution as a foundation, we can begin establishing related ordinances to strengthen our city's stance on surveillance technology and build a stronger, more democratic Portland for everyone. Thank you.
Thanks, Jude. Appreciate it.
Next, we have Andrew Pritchard.
Andrew, welcome. Thank you for being here.
Thank you, Council. Good afternoon. My name is Andrew Pritchard, and I'm a very concerned Portland resident. About 3 months ago, I found out that Portland, a city that prides itself on forward thinking, does not yet have strong common sense protocols in place regarding surveillance and data management. Now, I'm not anti-technology, but I was surprised to learn this. As such, I urge you to pass Surveillance Technologies Policy Resolution 106. It doesn't go far enough to create the infrastructure for protecting our civil liberties and privacy rights, but it is a start. Portland City Council has a great opportunity here. As Portland builds a whole new structure for its form of city government over the next couple of years, we can bake in robust and reasonable surveillance and data management practices at the foundational level of our local governing institutions. Not only will this resolution allow Portland to create citizen oversight so that capital T technology doesn't just happen to us, it will allow us to dictate the terms of our relationship to new technologies, even technologies that have not yet been conceived. The issue of surveillance technologies cannot wait. Surveillance Resolution 106 is a necessary precursor to the passing of an ordinance with appropriate funding for full-time positions, enforcement, and public outreach. This will allow the will of the citizens of Portland, as expressed through our elected officials, to consciously and strategically avoid the accidental, unintentional creation of a dystopian surveillance state. Without this resolution and the passage of a future ordinance, the potential for abuses and even fatal consequences are all too real. This resolution, along with ordinance to come, will enshrine some of our most cherished ideals across all aspects of Portland's government so that privacy rights and civil liberties for all will be codified yet invisibly expressed at the institutional level. Portland does not need the heavy hand of cold binary code to determine how we conduct our business. We, the people, get to ensure that our government and all the people and technology that act on its behalf always do so with a light, humane touch. Liberties are not given. They are taken. Technological progress has merely provided us with more efficient means for going backwards. Those aren't my words. Those are the words of Aldous Huxley. The author of Brave New World arguably put as much thought into these issues as anybody who ever lived. Huxley proposed that civil society form councils of experts to thoughtfully address new technologies and ensure that they would only be used for the benefit of humankind. Well, we might not all be experts in this room, but you don't need to be an expert to know that right here, right now, you, the five members of Portland City Council, get to choose the future for generations to come. You get to choose and build a future that is less encumbered by fear and a crippling sense of helplessness under a government of compassionless machines instead of thinking, feeling humans. Wisely, choose to pass resolution 106. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate your being here.
Chris Buschick.
Hi, Chris.
Hi. Mayor Wheeler, City Commissioners, my name is Chris Buschick, and I'm Director of PDX Privacy, a local nonprofit focused on privacy, government transparency, and digital rights, primarily in the Portland metro area, but I'm speaking today on behalf of myself only. As you know, the City of Portland currently has no policy in place related to the acquisition or use of surveillance technologies in the city. No rules exist, which means there's no transparency, oversight, or accountability. Residents and visitors are essentially living in a Wild West surveillance world where the only constraint is, can shareholders profit? Without a comprehensive policy in place, how can you as city leaders know what surveillance technologies are being used and whether those technologies are being used in ways that are both legal and that respect civil and human rights? How can you know that the technologies even work and do what vendors claim they do? How can you know that the data you collect is accurate and paints a valid picture of what is occurring in the city? How can you be sure you're not setting up the city for potential lawsuits by violating laws and rights? You can't. Then there's the question of what happens to all of the data that's collected using these surveillance technologies. Who owns that data? Who has access to it? How long is it kept? How's it protected? Without oversight and accountability, surveillance technologies can be misused, abused, and used in ways other than intended. Will data collected now be repurposed for other uses 10 years from now? Constant surveillance erodes the presumption of innocence, and collecting large amounts of data offers opportunities for fabricated narratives that shift the government's duty to prove guilt onto the accused, who must prove their innocence. The city already has policies that guide and direct the actions of its agencies. Having a surveillance policy doesn't mean that law enforcement or other city agencies can't use surveillance systems. An effective policy will help to ensure that surveillance is used for a legal purpose in a necessary and effective manner, and that there are safeguards in place to prevent abuse. The resolution being considered today is a great first step towards a more comprehensive surveillance policy. I urge you to adopt it and to then enact a strong surveillance ordinance based on the community control over police surveillance principle. Also, a privacy advisory commission or board is needed to help council members assess the potential harms of surveillance technologies being considered for adoption and the ability for those technologies to be misused. Thank you for allowing me to speak to you today.
Thank you, we appreciate it.
Our final testifier is Melina Leishin-Galdos.
Melina, welcome.
Hi, good morning or afternoon. Mayor, commissioners, my name is Melina Leishin-Galdos. I use she, her pronouns, and I am testifying on behalf of the Portland-based nonprofit SUMA. Per our CACUG's exempt mission, SUMA creates platforms for digital organizing, enterprise, and justice. SUMA is by and of our frontline community members. Our All BIPOC board includes Black, Latinx, Pacific Islander communities, and all of our staff are Latinx and speak Spanish and English. We founded SUMA because we looked at Portland's powerful technology sector and asked, where are the racial justice and anti-poverty innovations from this sector that talks the game about innovation? Where are the tech companies that center frontline communities as early adopters and primary beneficiaries? In response, we created a frontline-led nonprofit that incorporates technology as the basis of its racial, economic, and environmental justice programming. I'm here today to express SUMA's support for the surveillance policy. Today, it is challenging for even the most tech-savvy individual to understand and counteract the different ways they might be surveilled or their data might be extracted at an individual level, much less a macro level. This holds especially true for our frontline communities with less time, resources, and digital literacy skills to navigate the tech landscape, and are often the most directly harmed and targeted by tech. It's well established that technological advances tend to increase disparities between the haves and the have-nots, and advantages are pressed and vulnerabilities are deepened. Technology's impact has grown to the point where sustained public sector attention is needed. This holds truer today than a year ago when the initial surveillance policy work session occurred. The creation of a surveillance technology inventory and the inclusion of impact statements assessments for their planning and acquisition are steps to ensure that the city has an inclusive, transparent, and well-organized tech policymaking practice. The directive brought before you is a foundational piece of work led by frontline communities we know are the most directed and impacted. These community sessions were successful in part because it was community-led, but also because the city deployed its resources in support of designing and implementing a community-led process. The perspective of community leads, a position and leadership model contracted to bring skills, honesty, and ideas to build policies and new processes for centering frontline communities in the city, enhanced the policymaking sessions, and their work and expertise was passed to the communities they served. Having trusted community intermediaries allowed for robust, honest conversations around technology and surveillance, bringing to light the everyday concerns Portlanders have about surveillance within the city and their own homes. The directive presented to you today is only the first step in the beginning of a new era of policy direction that is inclusive and community-led, where private tech companies are not making governance decisions for Portlanders. I urge Council to view this surveillance policy directive as another step away from the patchwork of activities and staff spread across multiple bureaus and towards an inclusive, transparent, and robust technology policy-making structure for the City of Portland. The safety and welfare of Portlanders is not a secondary consideration to hasty solutions the government believes tech may deliver. It is this council's responsibility to ensure all the necessary safeguards and considerations are in place. A robust technology making structure starts with an inventory and requires impact assessments to begin to provide safeguards to help council decide as to when and why a technology acquisition may or may not be a good investment for the city. A good investment for the city also means making sure responsive and responsible decisions that align with serving our most vulnerable communities. A deliberate process that continues to center and resource frontline voices as necessary stakeholders for the policymaking process. Thank you for your time.
Thanks, Melina. Appreciate it. Does that complete public testimony?
It does.
Very good. Council comments, questions, thoughts? I just have one random thought. I wish more people were tuning in and seeing the caliber of the public testimony we heard today. I actually thought this was fantastic. I've just got to say, I think every single person who testified, well-informed, provocative, raised really valuable questions, provided good guidance and concerns that we should be thinking about as we move forward on these policies. Time extremely well spent, and I really appreciate people making the effort to either be here in the chamber or alternatively online testifying. Thank you. Thank you all for that. If there is no further discussion, this is a resolution, and I would be happy to call the roll.
Rubio.
I'd like to personally thank Hector. I'd like to thank Kevin and Judith and all our community leads, but particularly these three for your countless hours of work that you put into this, all the outreach that you've done, that you just put into it, and you put your such dedication and heart and making sure to get it right. And I just want to lift that up and really, really appreciate you for that. This is really good policy for our city. There's a significant and impressive amount of public engagement that this team did to shape this work, and I'm personally grateful to each of you and to every single person who showed up for the meetings, who called, who testified, who wrote in. It's really informed a really good, as we heard, first start at this policy. In my 2 years being in closer proximity to this work, it's very clear Portlanders want and need this policy. And this is an important first step for our bureaus, for our community, and it's one that will build trust, it will build transparency, and it will reduce the mistrust and enable us to confidently use technology for Portland that also protects our community's civil liberties and privacies. So thank you again. I'm really proud to support the work before us today. I vote aye.
Brian.
First of all, thank you, Commissioner Rubio, for guiding this work forward over the last 2 years. Director Oliveira, Director Watson, Hector, Judith, thank you for patiently bringing along this commissioner in several meetings. And I have to say that today it just really all came together. And I agree with the mayor. The testimony was, I couldn't tell sometimes if you're going to say you're in favor of it but it's because you wanted to, you revealed how deeply you dove into it and how you wanted to make certain that we heard your concerns and how important it is in the rollout. And so it was very passionate and very, very, had a big impact. So this was a great hearing. Colleagues, it's really an honor to be here today to discuss this issue because it affects all of us. It affects all of us very deeply. And I will just say that it's important that we have this robust surveillance policy in Portland today, because today technology and advanced surveillance systems have become so prevalent. You can't escape them. And as we continue to embrace technology in a rapidly changing world, our city must have clear guidelines for using advanced surveillance systems in Portland. And their many benefits must also recognize the unintentional impact it can have on our privacy and the rights of Portlanders, especially those who have been historically impacted. While these systems can provide security and public safety, they also do raise those concerns about privacy and civil liberties. As such, it is imperative that we as a city establish these policies and procedures in using and adopting surveillance and technology. This will ensure that we are protecting the rights and freedoms of Portlanders while keeping our community safe. The Smart City PDX surveillance policy represents a comprehensive, well-thought-out approach to this complex issue. It takes into account the latest privacy laws and regulations while also considering the specific needs of our city. The policy includes critical provisions such as coordination with the citywide inventory of surveillance technologies owned or used by city bureaus and regular audits with public reporting on the use of surveillance technology to ensure that Portlanders' rights are protected. Adopting this policy will demonstrate our commitment to balancing public safety with individual privacy and civil liberties. Furthermore, the surveillance policy will position Portland as a leader in responsible and ethical technology usage, attracting businesses and citizens who value these principles. In conclusion, this is a policy that's a critical step for our future. By balancing the need for safety and protection of individual rights, we can ensure that Portland remains a city where technology serves the people, not the other way around. Simply put, this is an objective policy we need, a foundation to make fair and just decisions going forward, and to paraphrase some of the testimony I heard this afternoon, to build a foundation of pro-accountability and pro-transparency. I vote aye.
Gonzalez.
I'm going to keep it brief, not because it's not a serious issue, but just to keep you all moving along this afternoon. I do very much appreciate those who testified today, thoughtful observations, the good work of staff. Obviously, this is a foundational piece. The real work is ahead. Just to be crystal clear, I do want to make just two additional observations. Oregon, the United States, Charles, other folks globally on this topic, certainly compared to the EU and other places in the world, they simply are further advanced on thinking about protecting privacy. And so I would just like to acknowledge that there's a gap to fill here. We have some catch up as a region to think this through. And as we adopt local policy on this subject, we just got to pay attention to what's going on nationally and to a certain extent at the state level. Hopefully we'll provide greater guidance going forward in some pieces of this. Just want to also echo the tremendous opportunity on the one hand for technology, both in law enforcement, but also just learning about our citizens in a way to help us support our citizens, to help us serve. But the very dangerous and concerns that have been raised about privacy and how it can be misused. So it is an awesome topic because the stakes are so high, and look forward to working with you all on this. I vote aye.
Maps.
I want to thank Commissioner Rubio, the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability, and the Smart Cities team for today's presentation and for their work on this project. I also appreciate the public testimony we heard today. I vote aye.
Wheeler.
Well, one of the reasons I love local government and being here is there is no issue at any level of thought, whether it is perceived as a global issue or a national issue, where it doesn't eventually end up on this dais. And this is a perfect example of it. We're in an age where technology is moving so quickly that we often find ourselves playing catch up. And this is a great example of that. This is an important subject. It's one that we've delved into previously. I want to acknowledge the work that went into the work session that we had not too long ago, where I felt like my colleagues raised really good questions that I hope helped shape this policy. Commissioner Rubio took up the lead with a great deal of passion and urgency, worked to move this council forward to this point today. And there's so many people to thank, the Smart Cities folks, Donnie, Kevin, Hector, Judith, and I'm probably forgetting many others, and all the people who testified today who I know have been engaged in this subject to a greater or lesser degree, but all expressed a detailed understanding of what's at stake, as well as a passion to make sure that we get this right. I appreciate the effort and thought that's gone into this, the engagement of the community. I know that we all feel very, very strongly about having citywide policies by which we can evaluate some of these technologies. Some, of course, can be of great value to the city and improve the way that we serve the community, but that comes at significant risk when it comes to constitutional rights and privacy. And I think that we also understand that the key is conducting a risk reward analysis in a way that is even-handed and unbiased as we go through this process. Today's resolution moves us towards that goal, and it gets there specifically through the technology registry and an eye towards determining processes that the city should put into place going forward. We also can take the fact that we're somewhat behind the EU and other jurisdictions as an opportunity. We can learn from their mistakes, we can learn from their successes, and I believe this will help us implement better policies and procedures as this work comes to a conclusion. We have to continue to reiterate the word that I think almost every single person who testified used, which is urgency. There's a matter of urgency because these technologies are already here, they're already deployed, they're already being used. And so we have to continue to bring forward a substantive policy with clear procedural recommendations, or we risk being completely overwhelmed by the pace of technology. I look forward, Commissioner Rubio and all here, to supporting this work in any way I can. Today, the best thing I can do is vote aye and say the resolution is adopted as amended. Thank you all for your good work, and we are—
Mayor, wait one moment. There's
Commissioner Ryan, I'm sorry, has a point of order. Commissioner Ryan.
Yeah, this morning we pulled agenda item 94 and it was referred back to my office. Just want to make it clear that that will be heard next week on Wednesday, the 8th at 10:20 a.m. time certain.
Very good, thank you. Any other business? We're adjourned. Thanks everybody for being here.